We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
And also brought to you by Dollar Bank. Get low home equity loan rates at dollar.bank. Kevin Colbert on 93.7 The Fan today, addressing the Terrell Edmunds decision to decline the fifth-year option. First time he's talked about it anywhere. It was on our air, and he said, no, we like the way he's playing. We think he's coming off his best year. It was just a salary cap thing. It's your headline. Let's get our out-of-office report in here now, brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture. Jeff Athorn from 93.7thefan.com here. Jeff, does that make sense to you that it was a salary cap reason, nothing to do with the way Edmunds has played?
It sure sounds nicer than we reached in the first round and he hasn't been exactly what we wanted and we don't want to pay that much for his production, to just say it's salary cap. Is there a little bit of truth to that? Sure there is. They don't want to pay that much for the production he's given them. And he also mentioned that, hey, you know, it doesn't mean that he won't be back. We could sign him to a lot lesser money, but they could bring him back at a lot lesser money. And I do know that, listen, I know Keith Butler likes him, and he does believe that he's improved. But you get to a point of cost per point, and the cost per point for Terrell Edmunds was too high for this team.
The thing I first jumped to, Jeff, when I saw Kevin Colbert's comments, because I didn't hear them, I read them first, was, is he trying to, like, because he used the salary cap as a sort of a blunt instrument to explain certain other situations, like, hey, we're up against it. It almost made me feel like he was hoping people would assume would forget that the fifth year option for him is supposed to come in a year when the salary cap is going to skyrocket. Like, he was just hoping everybody would assume under a blanket thing, oh yeah, cap's tight, that makes sense. It's not going to be tight. In fact, under that kind of salary cap, you'd feel like paying that guy that kind of money is not anything resembling a big deal if you actually liked him.
And other than the fact that he went to the same school as you, the second thing under Kevin Colbert's resume, or that everybody says about him, is that he's a great guy, right? Mm-hmm. That he is one of the class guys in the entire league, if not in all of sports. So he's not going to sit there and bury somebody as much as maybe that would be the easier thing to do.
Does Jeff Hathorn think that Al Villanueva is a better left tackle than Chukwuma Okorafor?
And
does Jeff, okay, and does Jeff think the Steelers believe Villanueva is better than Chukes?
I think they believe that in the situation they're at right now and what Al would have cost, even at a discount, it's better to give Chukes a year and see what he's got. And they feel like Villanueva is at the end of his career. I mean, it's cutthroat business. He's at the end of his usefulness for, you know, with the Steelers. And that he wouldn't come out and say that, but that's the truth. And most players get to that point where if they don't retire or haven't moved on, they outlive their usefulness. And I think it might still be a draw between those two, but it's a hell of a lot cheaper to have Chukes. Plus, you may have a future with Chukes where you don't have one going forward without Villanueva.
Jeff, what did you make of Villanueva's comments overall? What stood out to you the most, what he said to the Ravens on that intro Zoom call?
I laughed at some of it because we've all talked to Al. Al is a deep thinker, likes to toy with the media type of guy.
So he said TikTok stuff knowing we would run with it, and he was just trying to you know, put some breadcrumbs down so people could have a feeding frenzy.
Yeah, and the stuff with David DeCastro, like I'm upgrading his ride into
work. That's clearly a joke.
Right. You know, that's not something he meant. I do think that talk about him, you know, being in a run mentality and how that helps an offensive line. I don't think that was a shot. I think that's just a reality. And I think that's him saying that, hey, maybe I wasn't that bad at, I'm not going to be that bad at run blocking like you think. It's more about the scheme and the fact that there wasn't enough detail or attention put on the running game as to why my numbers were bad against the run and maybe the backs behind me as opposed to my performance itself.
You know, I don't, maybe I'm just too much, maybe this is just the fan in me talking, but I just don't like when a guy leaves for an arch rival and the team kisses his ass out the door. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's how it worked in the 1970s, but if the Steelers are going to continue to pay like lip service to the idea that the Ravens are, you know, their mortal enemy and a hated team, why would you kiss a guy's ass after he leaves to go play for them? I don't get that. It's not like Al won championships here. Maybe if he was in the Steelers Hall of Fame, it would be different, but he's not.
However, it's a deeper story with Al, as we all know. I mean, even if you criticize him very legitimately for a football play, it somehow becomes a military hero thing with him. And I think with him, more than almost any other Steeler that's left, you have to walk that line because of the stuff he did before he came to the Steelers. And everybody respects it, but I don't think you can have a general conversation because somehow people will think that you're ripping or demeaning anything he did before he even came to the Steelers. So I think with Al, it's different because of that.
You know what's odd to me, Jeff, is I would largely agree with that sentiment, just like when I kind of close my eyes and think, does that sound correct? And yet a lot of the Twitter reaction yesterday was like really critical of him. I was actually surprised at how critical people were with no kind of no conditions attached to it. They just said, good riddance. He's going to make them worse now that he's there.
Of course, we all know who lives in the Twitterverse. We've all dealt with it. So sometimes that's more the extreme of
I'm just surprised because it's usually people who will hate my guts for something like that. Or I would have expected to say, like, Chris, why are you being – no, seriously, though. Like, Chris, Pony, why are you being cruel to a guy who's a war hero? And a lot of that kind of crowd was saying, this guy can't play anymore. I'm glad he's gone.
I'm gonna quote my wife on this. When we were talking about the Harris tweet that she sent out that just completely backed the Greyhound bus over me and then drove over me over and over again, I said – why did you tweet that instead of something nice about me? And she said, very matter-of-factly, because when you tweet something mean, you get way more retweets and likes.
True.
And she's right.
Wow. She should be an NFL True. GM. She's all about business.
But that's the way it works. You say something nice, and people are like, okay, cool. You rip someone to shreds on Twitter, and it does big numbers.
It's the same I'm finding out with the stuff that I write online.
Really?
You do a good story or a feel-good story, and it doesn't get anywhere near the amount of clicks as if you write something about Tom Wilson.
Well, I mean, that's that's the old chestnut about, like, the 11 o'clock news. If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy. It's kind of like, you know, the trust fall. If you don't catch them, they bleed.
Dude, Jeff, did you have to do that?
I'm driving in my car, and I'm traumatized thinking about this kid, like, laying on the ground bleeding,
yep,
and a bunch of sixth graders thinking, like, oh, my God.
We did this to him.
Are we going to jail?
No, hold on, Jeff. You say kid there. The way Pony described this kid having gone through puberty already, it sounded like Gulliver was falling backwards and the Lilliputians were trying to catch him.
Somebody texted in and said, the guy you're describing sounds like the description Cabali uses when he talks about his Little League career. Because I guess he was one of those kids that just looked that way when he was in sixth grade. And that's fairly accurate. This kid was kind of a mini Cabali.
I absolutely see that. Yes. Thankfully, Mark was never dropped on his head as far as we know.
I think there was from our vantage point, the kid was so big, it was like, well, he can't hurt himself. He can't be. He's just going to bounce right off the floor and be fine.
It sounds like you guys thought you were ants and that he was going to crush you.
Right,
and turn your bones
we were more scared
dust.
Than he was, but he did move around, and that's why he fell the way that he did.
Your teacher just must have, like, instantly just thought, oh, this is going to be
bad.
Trouble.
Yep.
This is bad.
Yeah, he was one of those gym teachers, too, that even though we were in sixth grade, he was trying to be cool. Not in a totally weird way, but again, like, you're a teacher. Don't try to be buddy-buddy with 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds.
So our middle school team, tailback, was really strong, and he used to climb the rope And when he would get up into the rope, there were rafters. And then he'd start walking the rafters just to tick off the gym teacher. And we thought someday he was going to fall, which thankfully he didn't. But it was the funniest thing. He would climb up there. He'd get up there in like 5 seconds, and then he'd just go walking all the way around. And the gym teacher, you know, was shaking his fist. And we thought it was funny.
Do you think, Jeff, that Dan Moore has a chance to start this year?
Chance, yes. Likelihood, no. He would really have to come in and impress. And, you know, how are you – I guess he can impress in preseason games. And I guess, you know, Banner did enough without any preseason games to win a job. But I don't know how a rookie that hasn't been with the team wins that job at that position. Now, I think center is a different competition. But I think they feel like they've got two starting tackles right now. And Moore would have to do something out of the ordinary. Now, I will say this. For all the rookies, they get an advantage this year because everybody's learning a new system. And I think that often helps for young players that are trying to win a job because they get a fresh slate and everybody's on the same page with a new offense.
Jeff, I'm looking at something in The Athletic right now where they asked all of their beat writers or a beat writer for the 32 teams to identify the position on the team that was most improved from the draft, you know, before the draft till now. The Steelers, it was Ed Bouchette writing it, he said the offensive line was the most improved unit now that the draft is behind them, that a knee-jerk answer would focus on Najee Harris, but that the offensive line got, quote, two shots in the arm with center Kendrick Green and in third round and tackled Dan Moore Jr. in the fourth. What do you make of that? That is an eye-opening statement that I am absolutely going to ask Ed about and probably end up making him mad about coming up in 30 minutes.
What a tease. Hopefully our boss is listening.
You know, if you look at it analytically, probably the position they helped themselves out best or improved most was at punter.
Yeah, that's what I said, and then Mac made fun of me for it.
Well, that guy looks like Tom Tupa in the making, though. He looks like he can throw better than two or three of the guys on the quarterback depth chart.
Yeah. I agree.
nothing on that
well,
one.
Well, hey, you know, wherever you could find gimmick plays.
Danny Smith just chewing gum in his lair, getting ready for some of those.
Jeff, what have you learned about this Michigan State corner that they picked up as an undrafted free agent?
I'm trying to find out why he dropped. Mm-hmm. Like, there's got to be a reason. I mean, his times aren't horrible. He obviously had some great stuff on tape. Not just one mock draft guy, but several NFL experts had him rated third, fourth, maybe at worst, like sixth round. The fact that he ended up as a free agent, I don't know what the drawback is. Obviously, there is with a bunch of teams. I just don't know what it is, and it's a great roll of the dice. I mean, man, to get a guy like that on a free agent contract is kind of like Dwayne Haskins, just, you know, getting a guy you can roll into camp but doesn't cost you anything.
I don't know. I don't know where Pony falls on this one. I don't know where you fall, Jeff, but I'm about to find out. They take a guy like that a lot of people had, a third-round grade on. Mm-hmm. Their history with that position just makes me think that it's not going to work out, that everyone's trying to talk themselves, understandably, into them getting what seems like a steal in the undrafted free agent market. I just feel like for Shakur Brown, he ended up at whether he thinks so or not, he ended up in the wrong place.
I don't know, but you think he's in the wrong place?
Well, he's not going to get maybe the best coaching is what Chris
That's
means.
That's what I mean.
But
that
the
they
depth chart's
like,
wide open for him.
A checkered track record with drafting and developing guys at his position.
But the depth chart's perfect for him.
Oh, I know, but what?
I mean, I can't
you're
think,
the guy who thinks they shouldn't draft corners for this reason.
I know, they didn't draft one. They picked him up for free.
You know what I'm saying.
I think he's obviously in the best position. I'm sure he looked at, after he wasn't drafted, he and his agent looked at, okay, where are teams that have need and where could I go in and play? And there is no other team that he could have signed with where he'd have a better opportunity than the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, Jeff, are you ready to play a game? I would say free association, but I don't want to get yelled at by another host on this station, and I'm not even going to do a voice right now. Okay? The game is called Are They Better Than the Steelers? And I will give you an AFC team, and you will tell me, is that team right now after the draft and free agency better than the Steelers, okay?
Okay, yep.
The Bills.
Yes.
The Patriots.
No.
The Dolphins.
No.
The Jets.
No.
The Browns.
Yes.
The Ravens.
Yes.
The Bengals.
No.
The Titans.
Yes, but slightly.
Okay. The Colts.
No.
The Jags.
No.
The Texans.
No.
The Chiefs.
Yes.
The Broncos.
No. Sorry, Joe.
The Raiders.
No.
The Chargers.
This one's tight. I'll still say no.
Okay. So you have Steelers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams out of the Steelers. The Bills, Browns, Ravens, Titans, and Chiefs. Chris, you want to pick a team there and debate Jeff on it?
No, I agree with the five. I agree with the five teams he named. I would add the Chargers in, though.
Okay, why?
I would definitely add. I just think Herbert's poised to make a year two leap.
So it's a pro Chargers quarterback and anti Ben.
Yeah, absolutely, it is. And people can eat me if they don't like that one because.
Oh, are you Bart Simpson?
Speaking of middle school shorts.
Oh my!
Yeah, I know.
God.
No, I mean, I just one of the things I've become very tired of. Yeah. Yeah, cowabunga, dude. I'm going to hit you with some stats or some reality. I think it's funny that people have continually. I think it's funny that people have used the fact that Roethlisberger and Herbert had similar stats and whined about how one guy is getting touted as the next big thing while the other guy is getting put in the football in his football grave by some people like me. And I'm just amazed that people can be so dense as to not realize the difference between a guy entering his second year in the league in his early 20s and a dude who's almost 40, who finished the season like a guy who looked like he was 38 going on 82.
Craig, what do you think of those rankings by Jeff? Five teams definitively better, Bills, Browns, Ravens, Chiefs, and then I guess four definitively, one a little bit better, marginally, the Titans, and then the Steelers sixth. What do you think?
I think that's fair. I don't think there's anyone I feel real strongly about to make a counter argument against.
So no Patriots, no Chargers, no Colts, no Dolphins?
I'm good with all those. Which ones would you
flip? The Dolphins are the team for me that I think are getting sold short by you guys because they won 10 games last year, and I don't even think Tua was close to healthy. I think he was about 60%. You know,
I mean, if you think it wasn't close to real Tua that we got there, and that it wasn't just that he was having a slow adjustment to the league, I can see that. It's hard for me to tell which version of him that was. Didn't he take off and have a couple big runs though that would make you think he was pretty close to fully healthy?
What do you mean by that? Like, you're talking about?
I don't think. Well, and I also don't think in his case they would have risked his health with that the nature of that injury. I don't think they would have put him back out there without like the cleanest possible bill of health that he could get.
I think he was good enough to play, but he was still hurt or not 100%. I don't think, you know, that hip injury some people were saying could have been a career ender for him, that he was going to take all of last year off. So now he gets Jalen Waddle. Uh-oh. What happened? Oh, no. Jeff, I think we need to go to break. You can read Jeff
Pody,
at 93.7thefan.com.
You were tagged in this particular tweet that has me laughing, too, so you can just read it for yourself and just marvel.
Is it not suitable for air?
Part of it, no. Okay. No, it's not really, but I'll send it to you and I'll send it to Jeff and we can all have a good laugh about it.
Nice. All right.
Look forward to that.
I already heard Craig cackling. So.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.